It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
A neighbor was late for his tour of the farm, and he had seemed like such a responsible fellow. We'd arranged the meeting a month earlier. The formula for my orphan lamb Doodle was in bottles, and all my various equipment for demonstrating farm chores was prepared. 20 minutes later, the phone rang, and he apologetically explained. The reason? He had snagged a last-minute appointment in Brooklyn to get the monkeypox vaccine. He assumed I would be understanding, and I most certainly was. Most of the gay men I know are desperate for these shots. Friends are refreshing their phone screens dozens of times on end, trying to score a scarce vaccination slot. People who wouldn't be caught dead in Staten Island consider crossing the Narrows for an appointment. One friend told me he had just had 2 sexual encounters in the entire past year, both with the same ex-boyfriend. And he's crazy safe, he assured me. Yet this friend was still considering attesting to having multiple or anonymous sexual partners in the last 2 weeks in order to qualify to get the jab. We've reached a point in history where I have to lie to the government about having tons more gay sex than I do just to be medically safe. What a bizarre future we've ended up in, he ranted. And what if this gets me on some list of names President Ron DeSantis eventually uses to round up gays? I'd be so pissed. The basis for this vigorous vaccine enthusiasm is not hard to understand. Most of these friends came of age during the AIDS epidemic, which, like monkeypox, disproportionately affected gay men. While monkeypox is not usually fatal, its symptoms are gross, painful, and unpleasant. And you don't even have to have sex to get it. People are determined not to let yet another novel disease upend their lives and send them back into social isolation. Plus, we all share the recent COVID experience in which vaccines proved their worth. While my circumstances living on the farm don't give me the same sense of urgency about monkeypox, I fully intend to get vaccinated at the earliest opportunity. Every time I look at my forearm, and try to refrain from scratching the bleeding scabs and oozing pustules of the attack of poison ivy that's currently plaguing me, I think, get that shot. Yes, I'd have what I'd call country monkeypox. I'm usually pretty good at avoiding poison ivy, which is a recurrent invader on my property. I can spot it readily. If I should brush against a leaf or accidentally pull out a vine by hand, I immediately wash up with my tube of Tecnu. But last week, while working with my boyfriend Eric to replace a frayed clothesline that had finally broken, my vigilance lapsed. I had to loop the line through a pulley attached about 12 feet up to a post on the deer fencing. I climbed the ladder, and then I noticed some huge green leaves overhanging the pulley. Poison ivy? I asked myself. Well, it kind of looks like it, but the usual notch in the leaf is barely there. And these leaves are huge, at least as twice as big as poison ivy leaves usually are. And they're the same color as the leaves of the weedy cherry tree just on the other side of the fence that I've been meaning to chop down. So I took the chance of working without chopping the leaves back, and I've been itchy ever since. As with monkeypox, all you need is that glancing contact. In the case of poison ivy, you just need to have your skin, or clothing that your skin then touches, brush against an oily resin called urushiol that's on the leaves and vines of the poison ivy. And I clearly brushed, as 2 days later I exploded in itching on the back of my hand, on my wrist, and up the forearm, even a bit on the biceps. Behind the itch came the oozing pustules. On those spots, I had to rely exclusively on calamine lotion and caldicine powder, like Tecnu, great products, to dry the pustules and ease the itch. I went into the public health mode we've all learned during COVID, avoid infecting others. I powdered the arm heavily whenever I'd be near people. I even wore a bandage around it if I thought there might be skin-to-skin contact. I'd always assumed that oozing pustules would move the poison oil around and transmit it to others. I've now read up on things at the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins websites and realized that it's not contagious that way. The pus is your own body's product, the result of the allergic reaction 85% of the population has to urushiol. It's gross, but it's not the poison. Also, I realized that I'd better get used to these huge poison ivy leaves. According to at least some studies, poison ivy has become both much larger and more virulent in recent years, another byproduct of climate change. Additional atmospheric carbon invigorates the growth of all vines. With vaccines coming for everything, I think, why couldn't they just develop one against poison ivy? And why not add it to a semi-annual cocktail vaccine? And maybe throw in Lyme disease and shingles? I'd be for all of them. A triumphant poison ivy, monkeypox, Lyme, shingles, COVID combo. PIMPLYSH, pimply-ish COVID for short. I'd happily refresh on my phone for an hour for an appointment in Staten Island. Please take this lighthearted message as a reminder to get vaccinated, friends.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.